Good morning, Scott. This is Stephen Curtis Chapman calling you.
Hi, Scott. I'm Michael Steed. How are you?
Hi, Scott. This is Hillary Scott.
Hey, Scott. David Kenneman from Bonner.
Hi, this is David Lee from Hillsong Worship. How are you?
Scott, it's Toby, man. What's up?
Hey, Scott. This is Blake. Finding favor.
That was just a great interview. I love listening to your interviews, Scott. You really get personal with them, and that's too cool.
Start your day with Scott. Weekday mornings on SOS Radio.
It's back to school season on SOS Radio. We're talking to Michael W. Smith. How are you?
I'm doing well, Scott. How are you doing?
So is it really W. Smith or W. Smith?
Well, it all depends on what state you're in. I'm the other W, as they say.
So, Michael, our kids have been heading back to school, and you raised 5 kids. I imagine you've had a couple of good first day of school stories.
I guess the thing that I just remember more than anything is just scrambling. Barely getting there on time, taking back roads. Somebody forgot their shoes, somebody forgot whatever. I mean, it was just, I did a lot of the driving, come home after a show and drive carpool. And, it was just like, whew, you just kind of wipe the sweat off your head after you drop them off. I thought, well, we got there about 3 seconds before they were supposed to be there. So that got a little old, but you know what? We just did the best we could.
We're not technically tardy. We had 3 seconds to spare.
Exactly.
Did you ever have any run-ins with principals when you were a kid?
Oh, when I was a kid, I did, yeah. I think I actually got the paddle one time. I got spanked at school, and I can't even remember for what it was for, but that certainly wasn't fun. That was back in the day when they did that. They probably don't do that today, you know?
Yeah.
But I was a pretty good kid. I mean, I wasn't a troublemaker. I just didn't study very, very hard. I just sort of just kind of did whatever I could to get by, which I wish I'd done that different. If I had to go back and change anything, I'd probably change that.
I know it's funny how we're going through school and we're kids. We're just thinking about fun. I want to hang out with my friends. I want to get my work done as fast as I can. But yeah, then once we go to college and we get out into the real world, and we're like, if I would have studied a little bit harder, my life might be a lot different. It might have been a little easier.
Right, exactly.
What have you learned about motivating kids? I mean, you have 14 grandkids, 5 kids. I imagine you've got some experience.
Well, I do have some experience. How do you motivate them? You know, I just think the big thing is just remind them of who they are. You know, just to be just proclaiming blessings and promises of God over our kids. And we tell them they're destined for greatness. Well, just tell them that we believe that. You know, we believe that there's call of God in their lives, and they're just, just tell them, you know, you're going to do well. Don't sweat it. You know, just try to speak nothing negative, even though, you know, somebody just hit one of the other grandkids. And you have to do the discipline thing from time to time. But more than anything, it's just remind them of who they are. They're not here by mistake, and they've got a future. And I think if you keep telling them that, and obviously we believe that, I think it sinks in and it makes a difference.
It seems like there really is something to speaking who our kids are in Christ rather than just rewarding them or reprimanding them for the things they don't do, but really speaking to, hey, this is who you really are versus what you did.
I think that's a really good word for every parent. You know, we tend to obviously discipline your kid. And I told you not to do that. There's consequences to that. And that's got to be done. But do the positive and affirmation as much as you do that, if not more. I know everybody's got their own stories of, we had laid-back kids, we had intense kids, and obviously there's lots of different ways to handle children when you've got dynamics and personalities, you know. So it's not easy. I'm not here saying, I mean, it wasn't easy for us, but thank God nobody fell off the cliff and they're alive and well and they're walking with God. And it's just, you know, that's the greatest success of my life. It doesn't even come close to the music thing for me. Watching my kids thrive has been the greatest joy of my life.
I want to talk about bedtime. When you're putting your kids to bed, your grandkids are putting to bed, and they push back, but that's one of those times they're open to listening. We'll talk to Michael W. Smith next. We're talking to Michael W. Smith on SOS Radio. You and your wife have 5 kids and now 14 grandkids. That's not like man-on-man defense. That's like zone defense when you're watching all of that.
We've had them all this week, and off and on. I call it the beautiful chaos. It's like, it is wild. But you know, it's great, though. It's all great at the same time. They all just kind of left today. It's like I woke up and looked at Deb and said, man, what just happened these last 6 or 7 days? It was wild, you know. But hey, you know what? That's life, you know. When your kids are little and they're running and gunning and tripping and flipping, and it's fun. But, you know, you just got to pray for patience and don't flip out. You know, just try to hang in there when it gets crazy. I think the loudness is the thing for us because we love being quiet and we're in this big household by ourselves. And then all of a sudden they all show up and it's like, whoa, get ready. But again, that's part of life. We're very, very grateful.
We're talking to Michael W. Smith on SOS Radio today. So obviously, you know, you tell a lot of stories when you're hanging out with your grandkids. You sing a lot of songs. That's what your family does. And you actually decided to write your first children's book, but you also decided to do a lullaby album.
I did. You know, I thought about this for a long, long time. I actually thought about it when my kids were little. I don't know why I didn't do it. Probably just because, you know, I mean, look at what I've been doing for the last 36 years. I mean, it's just just an intense schedule and you know, touring and all night instead of writing the Christmas thing, I think I'll make a Christmas record or I'll, whatever the reason was, it just never seemed to be the right timing. And then when I was reading one of my grandkids, I was reading them a book. And this was like 2.5 years ago, maybe even almost 3 years ago. And it just hit me that one night at our house, and we had a couple that were spending the night. And I thought, you know what? I think it's time to write a book. I think it's time to jump in. And I'd also written this lullaby song. Just kind of came to my studio and thought I was going to write a pop song. I had this little pop idea, and I started writing this childlike little melody. And I think that spurred that coming a day or two after I was reading my kids a bedtime story. I thought, you know, I think this is the time. So we wrote the book. We did a lullaby record. I had a great sidekick on this, Mike Norowski. You might recognize the name. He was Larry the Cucumber.
Larry the Cucumber.
Yeah, VeggieTales. And he came in, and he's got so much experience. He's lived in that world for so long. And so we collaborated together a lot, especially on the book. And it was just so much fun. So, yeah, it's exciting. It's 99 Good Night is the name of the book, and we got three adorable characters that are not only in the book, but they're on the lullaby record as well. And this whole book is about getting your kid to sleep. Who doesn't want a book that helps get your kid to go to sleep? And so the characters are adorable. Eddie Bear, Sandy Lammy, and Sleepy Puppy.
Do you have any lammies or bears or puppies at your farm?
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, we have a lot of stuff, but we've had dogs our whole life, you know. But, you know, I think we all had a bear or a lamb growing up. And so it's really interesting picking out all those characters because they had to have something to do with sleep, you know, and even thinking about colors in the book and have to be soft. And even when you're making the lullaby record, it can't be rock and roll. You know, you just have to really just think a different way. So it was a real challenge for me, but really a lot of fun. And I'm really, really happy with both projects.
The SOS Radio Podcast.
Life issues, artist interviews, and faith.
Downloading now.
Those minutes right before our kids go to bed, they ask some of the best questions. I'm Scott Harold on SOS Radio, and we're talking to Michael W. Smith. He actually wrote his first children's book along with recording his first children's lullaby album. And Michael, those last few moments right before bedtime and the eyes of a child, those are the moments you place a high value on, huh?
I think so. I think it's sacred. You know, right before they go to sleep, what are you going to deposit? What are you going to sell into them before they just sleep the night away? I think it's a really, really important time.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but my kids seem to be most open to listening when it's bedtime. And that's usually when I'm like going, I got to wake up early. I got stuff to do. I got bills to pay. I got to get on the computer and take care of a couple of things. But that's when they're asking questions. That's when we're praying together. And then they're asking questions about God. And, Dad, why does this happen? Dad, why do you think this is? Dad, how do I do this? And then you're like, oh, man, this is a deeper discussion. Do I want to get into this now? But that's when your kids are open and they're asking the questions. And you go, okay. Gonna dive in here. Well, both your book and your album are part of a larger series that you're actually putting together. This isn't just like a one-time thing. You have some bigger vision to where this is going, huh?
Well, yeah. I knew there probably just wouldn't be one book. Kind of created this company called Nurturing Steps. I mean, right now we're slated for three books. We've already started working on the second one, which will come out next year. And then we're working on a Christmas book, which that's not going to be hard for me at all because I'm such a huge fan of Christmas time, have been my whole life. Yeah, I kind of have a feeling this is going to be in my future. It just seems to be the right fit. I mean, I'm around these kids all the time, you know, so there's tons of inspiration, to say the least.
We're talking to Michael W. Smith on SOS Radio today. So you have five kids of your own, 14 grandkids. Have you ever had your kids give you rules as a grandparent? Can't do this with my kid. Come on. Can't give him a Slurpee and sugar and let him play Fortnite till midnight.
I mean, we spoil him, but we can't feed him. Like, last night was a challenge. I mean, we had a birthday for Juliet. She was turned 2 years old this last Sunday. So everybody we did that, we celebrated. And there's sugar, and there's cupcakes, and there's cake. Oh, it's insane, you know. But, yeah, we try to just help. We try to abide by whatever rules they have for their kids. I mean, we just have to stick to that, you know. So, but every once in a while, if I've got one of them by myself, you know, we might slide by Sonic and get a little ice cream, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the best thing about being a grandparent. That's what you look forward to. You get to sugar them up and get them excited and then drop them back off to mom and dad and go, ha-ha, revenge.
There you go. There you go.
There's been some great new music releasing this year on SOS Radio. We're talking to Michael W. Smith. Michael's put out a children's album of lullabies that was inspired by his grandkids. He even wrote a book that corresponded with that. But then he put out an album earlier this year called Surrounded. And the inspiration from that, Michael, came out of the book of Amos. That's not one we hear a whole lot about in church.
No, you don't hear that much. And I read that passage. Actually, it already started on the pop record, A Million Lights. You know, it's a long story. The short story is, you know, I was grieving my dad. My dad went to heaven in November 15, and, you know, just couldn't find much inspiration in 16. Then the election happened, and in the middle of making this pop record, I got in a discussion with a friend of mine. He said, hey, man, I read that Amos 5 passage. And I felt like I was supposed to just tell you to read it again. And they said, and read Eugene Peterson's version, read the message part of it. And so I went and read it, and man, it just annihilated me. And basically, here's the Smitty paraphrase. You can go back, there's all the interpretations, they're all great, really. But I love Peterson's. But basically just saying God's ticked, he's a little ticked with the people, and he said, look, I'm tired of your sacrifices, and I'm tired of your music. Turn it off. And that really got my attention as a singer, as a songwriter. I do make music, and I think, oh my gosh. And then it says, you know what I'm looking for is I'm looking for justice to roll like a waterfall. And it just, I mean, I think I might have curled up in a corner in a fetal position and went, oh my gosh, what is that? I know that's meant for me, God. What do you want from me? What do you want from me? Yes, we got to feed the poor. We got to stand up for justice. And all of a sudden, I start getting all these dreams and these visions. And one of those dreams was making this Surrounded record.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion and want to help the podcast grow, you can make a $10 donation through sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app. Thanks for your generosity. It helps us experiment with new things and keep the discussions fresh.